It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are on the topic of nostalgia. Everybody probably has a time or a place or maybe something they like to bring back from their past that, you know, they want their kids to experience, or they just sit down and reflect and think about a time of, man, if I could just go back and do that again. Jeff, what do you got?
I mean, nostalgia is pretty cool, man. You know, it's something everyone's got.
True.
Everyone has something, some place, some moment in time that they want to go revisit. This morning I woke up and it was a playoff of yesterday's sermon. I mentioned just off the cuff, it was not in my notes. There's a lot that was not in my notes yesterday, but I mentioned the Phil Collins Land of Confusion. And so I woke up this morning thinking about it, so I played it.
Were you confused?
Well, I think a lot of us are.
Oh, all right.
I really do. I think that's why it appealed to me yesterday, was that even those of us who think we've got it right and clear, there's so much that's murky.
Mm.
You know, so it's right. We're almost kind of like ourselves being self-deceived because we think...
That makes sense. You know what it is? Hmm. I think we all are just tired and want to go back to whatever our best version of what seemed like what was once normal. Everybody wants to return to that.
Well, you got kids. What from your childhood do you want to recreate for your kids? I mean, do you find you're doing that in some ways?
Yeah, I feel like in some ways. We pull out old cartoon shows we used to watch when my wife and I were kids that we both like. Or kind of recreate maybe some holiday traditions. The problem we're running into over and over again and trying to recreate what that old normal was for each one of us is that we keep finding that what was considered to be our nostalgia keeps showing us otherwise. It wasn't as we saw it to be.
And
right?
Isn't that the conflict? Because so if you take Phil Collins, I don't know when that song came out, but I was a kid. Land of Confusion. I was young. The irony for me, which is exactly what you just said, clearly there was some major issues going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was apparently oblivious because I was a kid. So, in other words, there was turmoil. Now, well, there was the Cold War. There were periods near my childhood that I don't remember being concerned about the world. It's in my little bubble.
Well, right. You just weren't on the level of understanding to know.
Yeah. And so
I think what's cool though is, and I mean, the Bible works very much this way too, right? Is as you go back and kind of reread or rewatch or redo something, maybe even multiple times over, but at least more than once, you start to see like maybe new understandings that you didn't gather the first time, right?
It was always there. You just were you were clueless.
So it's just like you could see something on multiple levels, just depending on like what level you're seeing it from.
Sometimes all that's different is where you are emotionally. Like, man, you just play that song "Sound of Silence" by Disturbed. I'm sitting here tearing up, going, "Golly, that's beautiful."
Yeah, it is.
But
it's also got like a darkness about it.
It does.
I envision like somebody walking out of the grasp of their shadow, and like the song kind of has this dark undertone to it, but then the voice provides this like almost like angelic aspect to it. Like it's a very beautiful tone. And it kind of gives me like a darkness to light vibe, if that makes sense. Like he's found his way out of what had a grasp over him and is walking into the light.
In college, we played hide and seek in a cemetery. I found the best hiding spot. It was a freshly dug grave. 6 feet deep. I jumped in the hole and laid on the ground. You couldn't see me. No flashlights, so no one found me. And I laid there for 30 minutes. Nobody could find me. And when I laid there, I was blown away by the silence. So as I'm listening to this song, this newer version, I'm thinking about, okay, first of all, I've been around a lot of people who've died in funerals, and there's a lot of silence with the occasional crying, right?
Mm-hmm.
There actually is something beautiful about death. And I think that the reason why we can't see it is because we are so caught up in what we've lost that we can't see what that person is gaining. So in other words, if you could see death through the eyes of God, do you think you might view it differently?
That makes sense. We obviously see it as more of a reflection upon us, right?
Because our time is running out.
Not only that, but we see it from the viewpoint of, like you just said, of what we've lost. So mm-hmm. we carry that burden with us of what that feels like versus, like you just said, seeing it from the viewpoint of, look at what this person's gaining.
Yeah, I don't want
to. In terms of eternal life.
And I don't want you to think that I'm saying that death isn't a thief. It is. It is. But everything death takes, it has to one day give back. In order for us to have what God has promised, we're all going to have to die.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like, it's a, how do you say this? In order for you to get paid, you first got to put in the work. The working part's unpleasant. But,
I feel like
payday's coming.
It's just a, in general, I think an easier concept to accept or even understand from more of a level that you experience this with an elderly loved one or somebody who's lived a full life, to where you're not maybe then injecting the questions of why did this happen, right?
Right.
Because then it makes more sense to you. You can live with, well, they lived their experience here and it was time for them to move on, to where sometimes
a life cut short.
Well, sure. Sometimes it seems those experiences are cut short to us and we don't have the answer for why that is, right?
We don't like the answer, I think. It's, you know, we want to blame God for the free will choice of another. That drunk driver, that murderer, that, you know, whatever. You can go through a list. Someone being reckless, and they're good or bad, there's consequences for every action. And we have today adopted a mentality that as long as I'm not hurting anybody, I can do it. Well, any act that you do doesn't just hurt you. It hurts everyone. Maybe not everyone is entire across the globe, but there is the butterfly effect. Anything you do affects your family, good or bad.
I mean, I guess in general, yeah.
If you started smoking, I wouldn't recommend it, but you became a chain smoker, but you smoke outside. Will this new habit you formed one day affect your kids?
Potentially.
Why?
Well, because I would say the potential impact is that they could, or are, I would maybe even offer up, likely to develop the same habit. But I would say that also being said, it's not a guarantee that they're going to develop that habit.
I'm not talking about the transference of a bad habit. I'm talking about interruptions. It's like, hold on, kids. Daddy's got to get a smoke in. So you got to interrupt your family moments.
I see. Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Okay, so we're not talking death. We're just talking about an interruption or an unintended consequence. You got to feed your addiction. And so you have to interrupt what was otherwise a wonderful moment and put it on pause and hope you can return to it to get your smoke in.
All right.
Okay, so is that quote unquote bad? Well, no one died. No one got hurt in that regard.
Yeah, but I see the compounding effect of right. over time. And I mean, you could apply it to, in this case, you use chain smoking, but you could apply it to anything.
Yeah.
And then you would say, if this actually, like in the song Sound of Silence, he says, silence like a cancer, it will grow. And I think you could apply that same analogy right here and say that maybe eventually it's interrupting the time in which you're doing things, and then maybe it's cutting into your financial obligations because you're putting more money towards that habit than you should be. Now all of a sudden you're failing on your other obligations altogether because this habit's taking from you. Eventually it totally grows and festers out of control, right?
Yeah, we didn't get into like, it predisposes you to cancer and blah blah blah. We're just talking about the interruptions. So, because there's plenty of smokers who smoked and never got sick, never got cancer, never had an ill effect. But I guarantee you, there were things they didn't do or wanted to do. That
I think a good way to put it for you would be is if you could compound all of that time over let's just say a smoker's life.
And money. And money spent.
Who's dedicated X amount of time over their life, just, you know, maybe 3 to 5 minutes here and there, every cigarette they've had.
Mm-hmm.
If you could show them that, hey, here's 15 years of your life that you could have back, and here's $80,000.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of the point you're making, right?
It's yes.
Like, look at the, like, whoa, I never really saw it like that.
And so look in this lump.
I've always thought it's not really that big of a deal, because in the present surface level moment, it isn't, but the compounding effects
right.
are what really...
Right.
Bear the burden.
Yeah, because we see the 2 minutes in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see it over the course of your entire life.
Sure.
And again, this is why I think The older I get, and I've heard many say this, I notice I'm much more emotional. Hmm. I have greater capacity for compassion for people.
You a crybaby or what?
Often. I think it's because...
Because you're a white dude for Harris.
I understand when someone's been duped. I understand when what it's like to make a bad decision. You thought you understood what you're getting into.
And it's something... Oh, man, that's a lot more than I thought.
Right. And then right. And it's you know, you thought you were wrestling a blow-up alligator and it's a real thing. You know what I mean?
Like, wait a minute.
Wait a second.
Yeah. All right.
And so, no, I see people who've made terrible decisions where 20 years ago I was like, serves you right. And now I'm like, oh, man, how do I help you get out of this mess?
Yeah, but aren't both a good balance?
Yeah, because you don't want to be an enabler. My whole point is that my heart was closed.
I see. All right. So now you're open to more of the understanding for why somebody may be where they're at.
Yeah. I think I'm okay. A lot more willing to say, you know what? That could be me.
Yeah. All right.
That could be anybody.
For me personally, that's never really something I've personally struggled with. But I think it might be too that I'm just closer to being that person. I just was that person.
All right. I'm gonna say
5 years ago.
And I'm trying not to be offensive when I say this. I think it's because you came from Leftyville.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I think our lefty friends are much more compassionate, and they look at us cold-hearted extremists on the right and go, "What's wrong with you guys, man? Where's your heart?"
Yeah.
And so it's funny. Now this is the proper balance you're talking about. If you had both, who it's almost like the left and right system that we get away from the corruption side. Okay, just pull that away.
Just literally the people, like the people that you live amongst every day.
Yes, the if you think of it this way, and I would love to give credit to who first supplanted this thought in my mind. I said, "Oh wow, that's right."
It was probably me. So
I think
you're
welcome. I think it was Mark Driscoll.
Oh,
he said the left is kind of like the mom in the relationship, and the right is kind of like the dad.
I mean, that's 100%. That's great, but really, if you think about the. In general, just the energies they put forward, that's exactly, I mean, the left is very feminine energy. Mm-hmm. The right, although fading a little bit, I feel like they kind of got married and got their nuts castrated, but they still own them, but they've been kind of like taken off. They're in a jar in the house somewhere, but they used to be the masculine energy.
And so when they would come together,
right,
and have a conversation, you'd find a way to,
because
in balance, deal with a situation that needs to be addressed.
Because you can't argue. Some people on the right are kind of like, you're just like, bro, you got, that is a little bit cold on the heart.
Well,
like,
listen,
come on, man.
And this is about me. I am like a Brillo pad. And a Brillo pad has its place. When you got a cast iron skillet, you let sit too long, it's got rust. And
yeah, you
got
to scrape that off.
It's got to come off.
But at the same time, then, you got some people on the left that you're just like, dude, come on.
But I'll be the first to tell you.
Like, that's crazy town.
Don't wash your china with a Brillo pad. You know, it's not going to look the same afterwards.
That's fair.
And so I understand there's times... I need to shut my pie hole.
That's why I think, though, I think both are critically important.
Yeah.
When operating in a healthy fashion.
I'll quickly say to my wife, hey, help me understand this. And I mean it. Like, tell me how you view this and why. Because I realize that the way I see it and its isolation, I'm not getting the full picture. And so I can't approach it balanced. And that's what we get back to.
Right.
I think to some degree, we all live in a state of confusion.
Well, sure. Think about this. You obviously, you know what you know. And then you know there's things that you don't know, right?
Sometimes I'm not aware of what I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you know there's things out there you don't know, obviously. Like, yeah. You're aware of that fact.
If you were to say, well, Jeff, you don't know all the facts, I go, yeah, but in this I do. what I mean? Sometimes
right. I'm but then you're so, like, well, no, I still actually don't.
Sometimes I'm so belligerently, like in a bull in a china shop kind of mentality, that the arrogance, and we've all got it, mm-hmm. gets in the way, and I'm momentarily blinded.
Refuse to hear something else that could also be part of your puzzle?
That could actually... make me more balanced and have a, it may not change my answer.
Yeah, but I mean, then you're like, oh, I didn't think about that. That's a fair point.
Yeah, and there's been plenty of those moments where it didn't change the answer, but it did change my approach.
Yeah, like, hey, I still think this way about it, but now I know, like, I'm going to address it from this angle because it makes a lot more sense.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes, okay. I can get, and then the last one I was going to add to that is then there's things that, like, you don't even know that you don't know. Ultimately, everybody's looking at a murky picture in some capacity, right?
A distorted mirror. Yeah, yeah.
Because, well, then that's, like, earlier, though, we said, when you run into nostalgia, as you look back, even some of the kids' shows, like cartoons that when you were a kid, you just watched and didn't obviously notice anything of the sort at the time, just being a kid. But now you see kind of the jokes of, like, you're just like, oh, like, I didn't really, was that there for the parents? Or what were we doing with these little bit much for maybe a kid's show?
I don't know how you bring this to our current climate that we're sitting in in America, but I'm drawn back to Ecclesiastes, and
you're gonna say everything's vanity.
No. Oh. It's not that one. It's the he gives all these contrasts, and one of these sets he says there's a time to speak and a time to listen, and the whole point is there's a time to do both. And can you imagine how it would overnight change the temperature of our country and our divisions if we would both learn when to speak and when to listen?
Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. The problem is nobody listens. Everybody just speaks.
Yeah, we all want to get on our platforms and be heard because everyone's self-published now, and because you got social media, you can say whatever you want and be a keyboard warrior. And
absolutely true.
We all want to go back to some semblance of sanity.
Well, though, we've got to bring those, the left and the right, in terms of like that idea of construct, they've obviously always been a little different in viewpoint.
You got to be kidding me. This is why you silence your phone.
Oh,
I usually
the guy
go.
Who always makes the phone mantras now has his phone.
I know.
Going
I didn't
off.
Even put it in airplane mode. I hope that we did not lose this whole podcast to clicking. Man, sometimes you just don't know what you don't know, though.
Yep, there you go.
See, I thought I had it off.
I just totally lost my train of thought.
So you were saying with left and right.
Oh, yes. With that construct, the viewpoint's always a little bit different, but if we're going to return to the balance of, hey, the viewpoint's always a little different, there's a time to speak and a time to listen, we also have to bring back those normal, out-of-bounds lines for society interaction, meaning, like, women shouldn't be in men's sports. That shouldn't be a left versus right issue. That should just be a common sense issue. We should not be aborting babies in the ninth month of gestation. That's just, once again, common sense.
A 40-year-old man should not identify as a fifth grader and date fifth grade girls.
No.
Yeah. It's just that something wrong there.
There should be simple, like I said, none of the things I just said should be, oh, well, I'm, you know, this political affiliation, so I can't think that.
You know,
that's crazy.
You know why I think you're onto something? How many politicians run on that same logic and they say, we need to get back to some common sense laws or rules, right? Because what even they're acknowledging is, man, we're out here in crazy land.
Well, and we can disagree on how
what is crazy
tax policy.
Yeah, what is crazy?
Yes. But we should not disagree on what is just black and white. Like, we can disagree on what's gray. We should not disagree on what's black and white.
Okay.
And okay, here's another one. How could you live in our country and want wide open borders and invasions of all of the large cities and small towns in our country? I don't care which political affiliation you're on. You should stand for wanting our borders to be closed and wanting people to come in the proper way.
Okay, let's put it this way. If you take a glass of water, you recognize that it needs to be replenished with water because it's going down, right? Think of the water like people, population in America. If you put milk in that water, you've changed the fabric of what was in that glass. Like it was water and now it's watered down milk. Mm-hmm. You've totally changed it. When you bring people in who are not of this culture, who do not respect the Constitution, the laws that govern us, when they bring their flag instead of fly the American flag, you've totally changed.
Well, that's just it. We're not bringing people in who have come the proper way, who want to
right.
bring their culture with them, but they want to adapt to our culture.
No, they don't. They don't. Yeah, they don't want. They're not wanting to adapt, right?
I'm saying the people that come properly. Okay, want to adapt to the American culture. Yes. They like the morals, the rules, the laws, the boundaries of our society. Right. And maybe they have some influence of wherever they came from. Awesome. Yeah,
and we're not poo-pooing on how they celebrate Christmas. We're just talking about what it means to be an American.
Correct.
Yeah.
To where we're bringing in hordes of people now illegally with no process who want to bring what they came from here.
And implement
and install and live as though we should go according to what they want to do.
They want to install what they're running from because that's all they know.
To where... Like, no, we don't. Once again, it shouldn't be a one side versus the other. It should be an American say, no, we're not going to have that.
And again, what many of us are not acknowledging is the way they're doing it. The reason they're pushing socialism or communism as they come into this country is because it allows them to be a locus that consumes the fields of food and resources we've made. But eventually they're going to eat us out of house and home. Well, they're not contributing. They're taking.
And that's just it. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. If you're an American, you're paying for it.
Right. Right. And that's
wrong.
It is. Well, you're being forced.
Right. Okay, here's another one. We as all Americans should want fair elections that are done one day out of the year. They're done with a paper ballot. They're counted. We know the winners of the elections on the same day. There are representatives of all parties who are on ballot available at counting locations to make sure it's fair, just, proper. How is this a one side of the fence or the other issue? This should be, all Americans should agree with this, that you should have to be an American citizen to vote.
You only get one, by the way.
One vote, and you should be required to show your identification to do so.
Right. Yeah, and with that, you know, I know that we want to say, but paper ballots are so old school and it kills trees.
Yeah, sometimes, how about the adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Well, get this. With all of our new technology, we used to be able to do it overnight, literally. Like, you know.
Yeah, now it takes months.
Now it's like with our new technology, our new system, that doesn't work like a lot of things.
We'll hold the election in November, so next week. And maybe we'll know the answer of who won by January.
The quote-unquote improvement, the quote-unquote improvement isn't working. In fact, it's part of what's dividing this country. And I don't care who you are, left and right have both argued for years, it's rigged.
Sure.
And it's about, this is a powder keg.
And I think they're both right.
Yeah.
So that's my point. It should not be a one side versus the other issue. It should be Americans say fair votings. Or fair elections.
The question isn't, is there cheating at every election? The question is really how much?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, and what we're saying, again, back to nostalgia, back to some kind of period in our life where felt good. There was a time where we can remember, at least for elections, but we had a system that worked.
Look back at those issues, though, I think that you kind of popped the bubbles of nostalgia there, too, though, because you kind of ask yourself, did they? Were they working?
I don't think anything works as perfectly as we like them to or imagine them to.
But I'm saying let's use the elections. If you think there's been some cheating going on in some capacity,
yeah.
How long do you think that's been happening?
Well, what you're really asking is it foolproof with paper ballots? Does it prevent all cheating? No. But it's much more difficult for a country to copy a watermarked ballot.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. I see what you're saying. So the struggle to do it is much more, it takes man effort to do a paper ballot fraud versus
a hacker
algorithmic internet
effort
to do an electronic.
When the, whatever the booth, the voting booth registers 10,000 votes in a 30-second window, you know that's fraud. I mean, nobody can vote that fast. And they can't. One polling place can't, with one booth, process that many votes.
Now, I would say, I guess, would you say...
Because you do vote...
They upload them in batches, though?
Well,
do you think they would have just said, we're uploading a batch of this many votes at one time?
My understanding is, the example that I'm giving, it wasn't an upload. It wasn't like someone dropped in a thumb drive and uploaded. Like, it was electronically sent in the middle of the night.
So it was almost like in a, I know it didn't work exactly like this, but it was like somebody just emailed over 10,000 votes.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the whole point is that, yeah, frauds always happen. Counterfeiting's always happen. It's why we always have to change our dollar bill, put little strips in the center just to make it more difficult, right? To always keep the counterfeiters guessing.
If we just go digital, it'd be so much easier.
Don't get the mark.
Yeah, would eliminate all fraud.
And I think that's the whole cautionary tale, is that in our pursuit of nostalgia, of trying to go back to what we think wasn't a land of confusion, we have to acknowledge that there are no perfect systems in this world, but in the one to come.
Sometimes when you look back, the picture, sometimes the picture, the colors in the painting weren't the same vibrant shades that you once saw them as.
I look back at some of my family pictures when I was a kid, and I see that I'm laughing as a child in this picture. And then I see the next year I'm not in this church picture of our family. Now I understand why I wasn't. That was the year my dad began cheating on my mom and us with this woman that he had an affair with for 5 years.
Mm. So and it's the same picture recreated, but now you can see the different shades.
Now I know the pain that I didn't understand even as a child what was going on, but I knew it was broken.
So you were carrying, like, basically subconsciously carrying it.
Yeah, yeah. All of us were. All my siblings, everyone, no one's smiling. Everyone's broken.
So it kind of really goes full circle to your point of, like, when you start those habits,
yeah,
which, I mean, that's kind of a habit, right? Your dad probably saw, hey, a little pretty lady on the side.
She gave him attention at a vulnerable moment, whatever, right. How it happened.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe attention he wasn't getting at home due to whatever reason under the sun. Yeah. And I mean, it's not like your dad's the first person to carry out that activity, right?
Right.
That's one as old as time itself.
Right.
But it's interesting then to see, like, obviously your dad's not thinking about when he's doing that. But he's not thinking about, well, man, I bet my kids are really feeling the burden of this. Like, he's not thinking that.
I know that from conversations that we've had, he has deep regret about what he did.
Oh, I'm sure. You know? But I'm saying in the moment, he wasn't thinking.
He was never thinking the butterfly effect and how this is going to affect my entire family for the rest of their life.
Hmm. And that's tough, because, I mean, he's the example here, but that's all of us in any moment where, like, none of us are thinking that, like, oh, well, you know, it's, what's the big deal? It's not like 10 years from now, this is going to be, you know, a situation we're dealing with. And then
you find out, oh yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, exactly.
like this coming vote, you know, it's going to have ripples that are going to outlive many of the voters who are voting this cycle.
Ooh, that's we talked about seeing pictures on different levels. When you think about that statement, that's pretty crazy.
It really actually is. So no decision you make for the good or for the bad lives in isolation. I heard someone, they used to say it and it invoked an emotional response of duty and responsibility. They'd say, well, we're just kicking the can down the road to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. Now it's become a new game. How hard can we kick it? So it's not my problem. It's their problem. Like, there's a divorce now of who cares.
I think it's going to be a rough settlement over the family assets.
You know, there's near our church, there's just a few signs that are posted that I genuinely want to go and talk to those people and understand, why are you voting this for this person?
They're mega signs.
Not because I want to pick a fight, but because I'm genuinely interested to want to know, is it because you don't like the way the other person looks? Is it because you think this is the most popular, or is there truly a logical, principled reason that you believe this person will bring about the best America?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I'd say the top, if you are pro one candidate, it's because you can't stand or you're anti the other one. And if you're pro the other candidate, I would say the top three reasons I've heard personally would probably have to be the economy, the immigration situation. I guess I would really, because I was going to say the last one would be like the cost of living, but I would just really bundle that in with the economy. So I would say those are the two main things I've heard from most people on the pro other candidate would be, we just can't afford to live like this. We can't take it.
On the other side, I'm hearing them say things like, I don't like their personality, don't like their haircut,
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, if you're
pro one candidate, it's the only reason I've really heard why is because you hate the other one. So like, oh, well, they're this or they're that. Or,
as opposed to the policies are going to, yeah. So it's almost like this middle school, and it's not high school. It's middle school argument of why you're going to vote this person to be the prom king or queen.
Okay, let's just call it what it is. It's feminine energy.
Okay.
It is. That's what it is. It's feminine energy.
That's fair.
That's just kind of feminine. If you get a group of ladies together in a high school-y, middle school-y, cliquey situation, that's what's happening.
It's catty.
It's just feminine. Feminine energy has some wonderful gifts.
Oh, it does.
That's one of the negatives.
I am glad I'm married to a woman. I'm so thankful for her.
I mean, it's the same thing as saying, like, you have some male energy that sometimes is, like, over-dominant to where you're like, dude, that's too far. You need to balance that back.
Both can be toxic.
Right.
Yeah.
And in this case, this is toxic.
There's a time to listen, and I think we all need to... I think we got the speaking one. We're a little overkill, all of us. I think we need to start listening to each other, try and understand each other, and back up and go, you know what? Maybe I don't have it all figured out. And there's some missing pieces. And again, it may not change your decision, but at least you'll understand where the other's coming from.
That's personally how I live my life. I just always assume I never have it all figured out. And that anyone I come across might have something to kind of provide or teach me. So
if I had it all figured out, I would have never gotten married. I never would have married someone who's opposite of me. And I'm a better person because I am entangled with a person who thinks very differently than me.
Those do make good teams, don't they?
I believe God knew what he was doing.
Oh. Huh. Well, my wife and I are kind of different too, so you might be right.
Yeah.
Might just be a thing. Nice counterbalance, right? That whole left and right thing, just working together to make one winning team. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless. And remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.